Thank you so much. Thank you, Reverend Noli. Yeah, Noli and Deborah and I have gone back a long ways. We went to ministerial class, and then Noli started a center in White Rock, British Columbia. And so, Reverend Minx, we know what it's like to start a church sitting in one's living room with a few people and to be able to develop it. I'm jealous that you had 90 when you finally opened the doors to come out. Deborah and I had 12, of which 8 were my family. So goes to show. And it takes great dedication to do that. I'm so honored to be here, and I'm so honored that several of the ministers from the past were here, and I recognize a great many of the names that are on the list. So I want to applaud the leadership that this center has had for the last 40 years, beginning with Reverend Leonard and moving right on through to today. And I think that your beautiful minister today, Reverend Karen Rice, deserves a hand of applause. And Deborah and I covet your building. It's a beautiful building. Having lived 12 years in the desert in a place called Thermal, California, which is just south of Indio, and it's named aptly, I might add, just south of Indio, I must tell you, going back to British Columbia was an absolute joy. And now that I see the desert and feel the heat today, I think, oh boy, Monday we go to San Diego. Isn't that going to be nice? But I will share that we were part of the desert, and we did farm. We grew alfalfa, and at one point we had about 1,100 acres, and we found religious science, and it totally transformed our lives. It totally turned us on our ears. When this church was being founded by Reverend Leonard, as a matter of fact, when he was meeting in his living room, we were just beginning to discover religious science in a different way. We didn't know such a thing existed. I remember at that time I was at Langara College, and I was just first listening to Baba Ram Dass or Richard Alpert and just beginning to get an idea and an inkling that there was something more in life than what I grew up with in the United Church of Canada, which is a Methodist church. And so I began to actually spark myself that there was something there. And I think that that was the gravitational point that picked us up and moved us to Southern California so we could find our teacher, Dr. Tom, and our fellow students who today, most of them are very, very successful in the ministry throughout North America. Anyway, congratulations, 40 years. What a wonderful thing. And it really, for me, this whole sharing that we've had, and by the way, I love the music. I did not expect to hear rap in Sun City. I just to let you know. But I got to tell you. Anyway, the willingness that it takes to get moving into these things, and it seems to me that this whole hour that we've had here already has been an hour that's been talking about willingness. It's an hour that talks about the willingness to pay off a mortgage. It's the hour that talks about a willingness to start a church. It's the hour that talks about the willingness to uproot from one place and come become the spiritual leader and give your life to a congregation. It's an hour. It's the hour that we've talked about the manure piles in New York City. It's the hour that we've talked about sitting in this sanctuary and looking around at it and saying we want change, and suddenly it changes. And you'll notice that every single time the willingness is there, a manifestation takes place. It is almost less important to have the focus, the vision, and I believe me, as the spiritual leader of religious science, I do not say that lightly, than to have the willingness to step forward to do it. That's the important thing, is the ability and the desire and the call to actually pull yourself out of where you're at, pull yourself away from where you're standing to move into a new place. And when Reverend Karen was talking about 40 years being a sign or a symbol of completion, that means also that after 40 years, that's a symbol for something new, something to start again. And you have this magnificent opportunity, because you have such an incredible foundation that you stand upon, to allow you to be able to do what the previous speakers have said is necessary and required, which is to model the teaching in a way that is different than it's ever been modeled before. I'll share with you that the truth never changes. That which Dr. Holmes talked about and wrote about, that which he stole so liberally from so many people and put into activity and action, is actually the truth, capital T. And that never changes. But what does change is our willingness and our ability to be able to embrace it, to take it to a new place and a new spot. And that's what's happening in our movement right now. That's really how all this is unfolding and what I'm witnessing when I travel around. And I travel about 200 days of the year to different centers all over the world. And I will share with you what is happening at the very, very core of our teaching. And it is the awakening and the awareness of the power that we've always believed in and the surrender to it as opposed to the direction of it. Now, I'm not saying that you have no ability to be able to direct it, because I know you do, and I just finished sharing how it manifested in so many ways. But there's something happening in our movement right now which I have not seen happen before. And when Reverend, when Sue was sharing about the visions, or no, the two, whoever it was, you two, you did a great job of it. When you were sharing about all the different visions throughout the years, how it came, I really noticed that the vision went from bringing the light of the teaching of truth into the world through the individuality of humanity to, oh yeah, and doing it by teaching science of mind, and then the addition to it, and doing it in teaching science of mind and modeling it. In other words, actually embracing it and bringing it into our being. Most of us who've been around for a long time grew up in a time when the thought of doing engaged spirituality or stepping out into society and actually having a voice, proselytizing in our own immutable way, then doing that was something that was absolutely condemned. It was not permitted. We were not allowed to do it. For some reason, we weren't supposed to have a voice in the world around us. We were supposed to go within and make the transformation and the change. And I support that. I grew up in that. I know that that's the only way it begins. But we're past perhaps the time of beginning, and it's time to start to express it. It's time to start to share it out into the world. The kindness and the compassion that Reverend Karen talked about is the kindness and compassion that is the future of who we are. It's how we're going to become represented in the world around us because of the evolution of consciousness and the transformation that takes place when we're willing to actually step forward and do it. When we're willing to model it and to act upon it as opposed to sitting back in an archaic mode and way and saying, I know the truth and you don't. Religious science arrogance has come to an end. So we start doing things and we start taking stances and we start speaking out. And here's what we need to learn to do. We need to learn to speak out from a sacred heart. We need to teach the world how this teaching works in a way that I do not see experienced very often. And that way is to not become and emulate the feelings and the senses that we have that are given to us, but instead to be able to do it with a cleanliness and a cleanness of who we are and a clarity of who we are without the energy attached to it. I'll tell you what I'm talking about. You know, so far in our society, in our history, when something happens or goes amok around us, what usually happens in the general idea is that we respond in the same nature we received it. Have you noticed that? When somebody gets really angry at you and gets in your face, that all of a sudden what happens is the natural human reaction is to come back with the same anger, as though somehow or other that is going to transform or change what's happening in the world. When we see what's happening in the world right now, we see it around, when we see the Syrian crisis, and we see ISIS, and we see the electoral process in the United States, and we see the separation that's taking place all over the world, when we see the division that's happening and that sort of thing, our tendency is still to fall back on that idea that if we withdraw or withhold, somehow or other we're going to fix it, and what we're feeding back is the identical energy that we are against or opposed to in the first place. It's the energy that we want to transform. So to be able to operate from a sacred heart means being able to operate without the same energy you're being served up. To be able to stand tall. And that is the modeling of this teaching of science of mind to perfection. when what we can do is we can hold our own counsel and stand in the middle of all of the questions and not respond with the same energy that the world is responding around us. And when we have the willingness and the ability to be able to model that and put that into activity and action in the world around us, what will happen is the world will change just as surely as this sanctuary transformed when you sat down and talked about it and thought about it, just as surely as the automobile was created because there was too much horse dung in the streets of New York City. We might say there's too much horse dung in the world, and it's time that we bring and manifest something new into being and into experience. And why I even mention this is because you've been doing it for 40 years. The foundation I speak of is the foundation that's been laid before you. It's the development of what we know as consciousness and moving forward. When Deborah and I started in 1993 and founded our center, the first class we ever gave was in a grade 3 class at an elementary school. And I'm going to speak for myself because Deborah's far too angelic and too big an avatar to ever think like I do. But the end result is I remember walking into the class, and I remember thinking my first Science of Mind class in Kelowna, British Columbia, Canada, who had never heard of Science of Mind to speak of, and walking in there and saying, I know all this stuff. I'm so bright. I've got it over top of everybody. I know that mind creates form. All this good stuff that I'd learned. And I went in there, and I remember standing in the middle of this classroom with all those teeny little desks. I don't know whether or not any of you, did you ever have to do that, Leonard, to shove them into little desks to teach them Science of Mind? Anyway, I remember sitting there and looking around this classroom, and there on the valance, on the ceiling, all the way around the roof, was in a grade 3 classroom, was all the affirmations that I'd been learning for the last 6 years. They already knew it. They were already there. Why? Because my consciousness doesn't transform the world consciousness. The world consciousness moves forward. We are all moving at the same pace, at the same place, and we're waiting. We're resonant to hear the truth when it comes out. And that's what you've been doing for 40 years. For 40 years, you have been building the foundation of what is necessary and required today, what is needed to be put into activity and into action. The kindness and the compassion and a new way of being and a new way of living and a new way of propelling and a new way to show the willingness that we're willing to do what we've always done, which is to lead in consciousness the world around us. This is who we are. This is what we do. And like I say, I congratulate you. I honor you. And Centers for Spiritual Living hold you as precious because you've been doing it for 40 years. And because you're doing it today and you're doing it now. This is a magnificent thing. The world will transform. And we do it. We do it in an activity and an action that is extraordinary. Do you know, one of the things I discovered when I became a religious scientist, and it took about 5 or 6 years of really living in it, to figure it out. My teacher used to say, I was in religious science for 10 years before religious science was in me. And I found that to be very true after the first 10 years. And 10 years later, I was in, it goes on and on. Anyway, what the discovery was that we think different than other people. We really do. And for the first 10 years, I assumed people were thinking like I was thinking. I would have the assumption that somehow or other their mindset was the same as mine. And slowly but surely, I began to recognize that that wasn't so. And when I went to churches and centers, what I found was I found people with the same mindset. All of a sudden, it was somebody who I could relate to, somebody who I could talk to because they actually thought the same way that I do. And that included my loving family. That included people in my life. I'm not putting them down. I'm saying that as a religious scientist, we think differently. We automatically go to a different way of thinking and a different thought process than most people in the world around us. And that's why it's so important for us to continue to model it, to bring it forward, to create the collective consciousness to allow us to transform the world around us, not so that they look like us, but so that they become authentic and actualized in who they are, and then they fit into the mosaic life in perfection. So, you know, on a sailboat, if you're standing on the deck of a sailboat and you look off the side from the deck, you can see 5 miles to the north, 5 miles to the west, 5 miles to the east, 5 miles to the south. So basically, you can see 100 square miles from standing on the deck. If you climb the mast 25 feet, you suddenly can see 50 miles to the north, 50 miles to the west, 50 to the east, and 50 to the south. And you can see 2,500 square miles. It's exponential. What we are is a movement that is capitalizing on the exponential truth that we know and hold to be true. That truth, which is about love, light. It's about a willingness to show abundance to all. It's about sharing the goodness of life around us. That willingness and that ability to be able to see a world that works for everyone and a world that works for all. To be able to put it into place and to be able to present it. That idea is an idea that has been taken from a 25-foot mast of consciousness. It is not taken from the deck. Where we are, or where our society is still standing on the deck. And our job is to keep standing up there and yelling and shouting out, I see it, I see it, I see it, I see it. Instead of standing and listening to the person on the deck that says, I don't see anything, and we don't want to argue with them. Am I the only one who feels that way? And so that is the activity and the action. So I celebrate you. 40 wonderful, glorious years, and now you get to start the next 40. And what a magnificent gift to the world you are. I heard a lot of conversation here, which I'm very proud of you for paying off the buildings and doing all those things with form. I'm going to tell you something, okay? That's a beautiful thing, and I'm so happy, and it shows and demonstrates your consciousness, but the building isn't who we are. Who we are is the insides of it. We're not the chalice. The chalice has no value except to hold the contents together. Where the value of this teaching comes from is it comes from the contents, and you are the contents. So my question has been asked here. Yes. My question that's been asked here a couple of times tonight is, are you ready and are you willing to move to the next stage? Because I'll tell you something, that those who are given much, much is expected. And the thing is that what we have been given is a great deal. We've been given a new lease on life, a new understanding, and a new appreciation. And it's incumbent upon us now to be able to share that off into the world through activities such as engaged spirituality, through activities such as holding our own, through activities such as bringing the teaching into our hearts in such a way that we can live it instead of falling into the fear or falling into the morass or the minutiae of things that look like they're problems. And that's what we're tempted, that's what we're threatened, and that's what we're challenged with today. And I know for a fact that we're the ones to take this forward, and I bless you for doing that. Would you like to set your next 40 years in prayer right here and right now? So join me. Let's acknowledge first and foremost that there's God and absolutely nothing else. Let's embrace that concept and know that we're unified with it. We are never separate from it. For that power, that intelligence is infinite. And as it's infinite, there are not two infinites. There is only one. Therefore, we are a part of it. Accepting and knowing this, I speak my word right here and right now for this center, for every congregant who's here, for every congregant who has ever been here. I speak my word for every congregant who will ever be here. Recognizing and knowing that this is a place of light, it is a place of love, it is a place of truth. And that truth is modeled here in every example, every activity, every experience, every expression. I know with an absolute certainty that this place is a vortex, and that it draws to it everything and all things that are required and necessary to attract into it everything in order to be successful, healthy, whole, complete, and an immovable teaching that moves through the world without fear, without resentment, without block, and without stop. I speak my word for this Center for Spiritual Living, understanding and knowing that it is a divine idea in the mind of God, that it is not reliant upon any thought or idea beyond that concept. And I instill and put within each and every individual here the faith right here and right now. I awaken that which has always existed, the resonant belief that goodness happens here, and goodness always will happen here, and goodness always has happened here. I give grateful thanks that this is so, this is done right here and right now, and joyously I surrender it back to the universal mind, which is all mind, your mind, and my mind, and I demand that it be my truth, and I live from it with expectation and anticipation. I let go, I let God, and we ground this together by saying, and so it is. God bless you. Thank you so much.